Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rob.
Hi, this is Activate Yourself, and my name is Gita Sidhu-Rob. And I, as always, try and bring you interesting, fascinating, inspiring guests. You know, when you look for interesting, fascinating, inspiring people, the thing is, it's not like they litter the sidewalk. It's not. What happens is you have to come and go and look for them. And often we find them and then they don't know how to communicate very well. Right? Because they're busy being inspiring. No one taught them how to talk about it. And so I want to just say that the times where you find people to speak with you on air, off air, that are interesting and that you just get on with, we should not underestimate what an absolute bloody joy that is in life. I speak as a raging introvert that is forced to talk to more people than I like. And so when I find people that I want to have fun with, I actually tend to think, you should let me know, but I tend to think that that always makes for a better show, you know, because that's how that works. But also, I think that if people are inspiring, it's because they're inspiring every day. I don't think inspiring is something I do on Sunday. You know, I think it's something that we just show up in that way. And I think we underestimate how important it is in today's day and age for us to be the kind of people that make everybody feel better as we touch them. And I think that that's really, really, really important. So I want you to bear that in mind when you go out today and talk to people, when you go out tomorrow and talk to people. There's nothing stopping you having a huge impact by making everybody you meet along the way feel good about who they are. And honestly, if we all woke up thinking that, wouldn't that just be a wonderful world? That's just my thing for today. So now I've preached at y'all. We're going to go and interview our lovely guest. So my amazing guest today is a lady who talks about what it's like to cope without drinking, which is rude, frankly, because, you know, tequila. But there's a lot to be said for managing our lives today without artificial aids. And it's always the day that I want to drink the most is the day I won't drink, because that's the day I think, well, why am I having a drink today? Because I'm doing it instead of fixing whatever the hell else is going on in my life that I need to look at. And I'm pretty sure that and my zero tolerance for alcohol have stopped me becoming an alcoholic, because I couldn't drink enough or often enough to become one. But we won't tell anybody that, because that doesn't sound good. And it's really important, because especially at going through Christmas, New Year, January are some of the most difficult times for the majority of people. And it's the time where you just think, the only way I'm going to get through this lunch, this meal, this time, this day, either because I'm alone or I'm with people I don't like, is by drinking or is by you know, somehow coping. And so Carrie is going to tell us how to not do any of that. So after that deeply long very tangential introduction. Please welcome Carrie Schreer.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited. And listen, we're going to make this fun and exciting. It's not going to be this like wet blanket, okay?
No, and that's why I introduced you like that, because you are not a wet blanket. And it was an absolute pleasure having our starting conversation. So I know that the rest of the conversation is going to be really well. You would imagine I'd have done that introduction if you were going to be boring, do you?
No. I just want to make sure the listener knows that we are here just to have some fun today and talk about some alternatives, perhaps. And so,
if they've been my listener for more than a minute and a half, they've worked that one out. So we're good. We're just bringing you into the club of this should definitely be bloody entertaining. I was asking you to tell me about the gray area. Tell me about what you actually do first, and then I'll ask my question again.
Yeah. So gray area drinking is one of the topics that I speak very frequently about. Why? Because I was a gray area drinker for years. I found myself, you know, liking my wine a little bit too much from time to time, but I didn't identify as being an alcoholic, not knowing what to do when I decided I probably should end my relationship with alcohol because it was starting to become a problem. I went the traditional route of AA, wasn't a good fit. I left. About 2 years later, I hear the term gray area drinking on a podcast. This, by the way, this was about 5+ years ago. And I was like, gray area drinking, what is that? I went home, I Googled it. I didn't find much. There was very little out there. At the time, there was a TEDx talk and there was a research paper, which is where the term originated, from 2011. And I read that and I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly where I was. I was not an alcoholic. I knew that all along. I didn't identify as that. And so when I just read more about this, which again, wasn't much, I thought if I could be the voice, if I could be the one that's out there sharing what gray area drinking is with others and get them to raise their hand before they get too far down a path of addiction, then I've done my job. So let me tell you the definition of gray area drinking. It's the wide spectrum of drinkers that is in between somebody who is lightly socially drinking, the take it or leave it social drinker, and someone who is severely abusing alcohol. It is estimated about 50% of those that consume alcohol are in this gray area. And again, there's this wide spectrum, okay? There was a study done recently in the United States that 1 out of 4 Americans are gray area drinkers.
Wow.
And that seems very true for me and in my estimation and what I've seen. So yeah, it's a widespread concern for some people.
And what I like about this conversation and this specific area is that that's where we all fall through in the cracks. You know, I ran a health and wellness business for 15 years. And I used to always say that, you know, when we deal in wellness, it's that space just before you get sick and just before you need the doctor. And if we can help you get better in that space, you never need to go as far as becoming sick. And that's why I like this conversation so much, because it is about dealing with the area before this becomes a deep-seated proper problem. And it's a recognizable problem, but it hasn't yet become the addiction. So here's how we can deal with it. And so I really like that. Now, how do you identify a gray area drinker?
So when someone is starting to have those internal dialogue inside, like, am I drinking too much? How much is too much? And again, this really is somebody who's not dependent on alcohol on a day-to-day basis. So somebody who might have 1 or 2 drinks nightly, or maybe they're not really drinking much at all during the week, but then on the weekends, they're binge drinking, which
is half of Britain.
Yes, yes. The definition of binge drinking, by the way, is 3 or 4 drinks in less than a 2-hour period. So that's a lot in one time frame. And let me just tell the listener and the viewer what a standard drink is, because this is important to know too. We think the standard drink is, you know, like an 8 or 9 ounce pour of wine. That was my standard drink, right? But wine, it's only 5 ounces. So a fun little task for you to try after you listen or watch this is go to your kitchen, get out a measuring cup, pour 5 ounces of liquid, put that in a glass, and that is considered a standard glass of wine.
As opposed to the huge ones you can swim around in.
Of course, of course. And I was drinking 8 to 9 ounces on average. And I'd say that's one glass. And then I'd have two. And that was like, you know, almost 20 ounces of wine. By the way, there's 24.5 ounces in a standard bottle of wine, so which is 4.5 glasses. Technically.
Wow. So,
yes.
So you could drink a bottle of wine in 2 glasses.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, wow. so easy to do, right? And beer is 12 ounces, unless it's a craft beer or an IPA. Then we're looking at 8 to 9 ounces. And then hard liquor, gin, tequila, vodka, bourbon, whatever, is an ounce and a half. So that's a standard size. So if you think about that, I think how easy that is to do in less than a 2 hour period. It's very easy to have three for women or four drinks for men in less than a 2 hour period.
Yeah, 2 hours, especially if you're sitting and talking and eating and laughing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And next thing you know, you're like, wow, it hit me all of a sudden. And listen, Gita, alcohol works, right? Let's face it, it works great. It helps to soothe your day. It helps to escape. It helps you to feel good. It relaxes you. It might give you some courage to do something you haven't tried before that you want to try. Like, it does all the things, right? It's fun. We feel loose and happy and free. It works. I'm not denying it doesn't work. But here's where the little bit of wet blanket comes in. It only works for 20 minutes. And then everything after that, it's just, it doesn't really even count. Now you're just adding to it. And before you know it, your body, you're training your body and your mind that you need to have more of it. And this is when it starts to become a habit, which turns into an addiction, which we really need to be careful and mindful. So that's my goal today, is just plant a seed for you to pay attention.
Okay, so I need clarity. You said it only works for 20 minutes, and then you add, what does that mean?
So when you first drink alcohol, the first 20 minutes, you're feeling that initial buzz. You got the warm feeling all through your body and you're starting to get relaxed. After that 20 minutes, It's not like you have to keep having more to get the same amount, right? It's just you're adding to it and it prolongs it. And before you know it, you're building up your tolerance. So after 20 minutes, it doesn't even matter anymore if you're drinking or you're not. You're just what you're doing is increasing your tolerance level, and then it causes more issues the more that you do drink. So if we only had just,
is you should have the one drink. And then you should, and you're not saying that, but we are saying that if you have that one drink, you've had the best effect and you can't stop after that.
Yes. But here's the thing. Most gray area drinkers don't want to stop at just one. Let's face it, right? They want to have that second or third drink. And this is where it starts to become interesting. And only you know how you feel. Right. So like we can lie to ourselves. And I did that for the longest time. Like, I'm fine. Everyone else does it. I'm just like everyone else. And I don't have a problem. And then till my husband started making comments to me like, babe, I think you had a little bit too much last night. You know, when we were at the party, I'm like, whatever. And I'd wake up, you know, not feeling the greatest, but I'm still fine. I really prided myself on the fact that I never really had a hangover per se. I never got sick. Right. And I thought that was a badge of honor.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you were taught that, weren't you, with society?
Yes. 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 And I think that's it too, is society. We really have shown to each other that alcohol is the way to have fun. Alcohol is the way to celebrate. Alcohol is the way that we network.
Yeah. No, let's have a glass of champagne to celebrate. It's so built in. Nobody says, let's have some cocaine to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
That would sound weird. But champagne to celebrate doesn't sound weird.
That's right. That's right. So we have really conditioned ourselves into this message. And, you know, I really like the idea of looking at smoking. You know, I smoked for 30 plus years. I mean, long time. And so I started when I was 7. I had my first cigarette at age 7.
Oh my God, what?
Yes, I stole one from my neighbor, my mom's best friend, Gladys. She lived right behind us. She smoked Cools. I wanted to be cool. I was like, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And the sad thing is I liked it. I remember, for those that can see me, I picked it up and I was like, I was smelling it before I even lit it up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this smells amazing. And then I lit it up and I actually liked it. And I told my mom at that time at 7, I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be a cigarette smoker. No one in the family smoked. Now, mind you, this is in the middle of 1970s. It was like 75 was when I was 7 years old. So 1975, everyone smoked. It was like the thing that you did. I mean, people smoked at work. Like, I remember one of my first jobs was at a bank. I smoked while being a teller. Like I'd be smoking. I'd be like, oh, a customer's coming. I put out my cigarette and I'd get back to work. I kid you not. It was crazy how much.
It's funny to think about that now though, isn't it? So you're saying that alcohol will go the same way?
My prediction is this, and I could be wrong, but I don't think so. The tide is starting to turn. We're starting to see that more people are realizing that there is a superpower to not drinking, that we have gained a lot more knowledge about what alcohol truly, truly does to our body and to our brains and to our sleep and how it affects us. We all know it's not good for us, but yet we have made the excuse that it's okay because society has accepted it and all the things, and this is what we do and blah, 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 blah.
It's red wine and it's helping my heart or some crap like that.
That's right. That's right. But there is no amount of alcohol that is considered healthy. That's a fact, right? Yeah. So over time, what I think is going to happen, and there's other predictors out there that have said this as well, probably by 2035-ish, we're going to start to see this major trend like we see with cigarettes now. Because when I quit smoking, here's why I quit. I didn't quit because I wanted to quit. I liked smoking, right? I quit because the societal pressure to quit was there. It was so shameful to smoke. Yeah, I mean, I worked in the medical community. I couldn't smoke.
You with somebody who didn't care about their health and their children's health and all this stuff.
That's right. That's right. And when we built our house, I kid you not, Gita, we have a screen and porch on the side of the side. And at the time, they wanted us to flip the house plan. So the screen and porch was on the right side, not the left. Well, my neighbors to the right of me, she is the chief of nursing at the head college, which is a state college here.
You couldn't smoke in front of her?
It's like, hell no, I can't do that. So I made sure that we flipped the plans just so I could be out there smoking my cigarette. I kid you not.
Hysterical.
I kid you not.
We're going to go for a short break. And then when we come back, I want you to tell me about your journey and how long that actually took from your husband saying you drank too much to, you know, the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll go on a break.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. I want to know what that journey was. How long did it take you to realize it for yourself?
Yeah, great question. So in 2014 is when I started having those internal dialogue questions like, wow, am I drinking too much? I'm really liking this wine. Hey, babe, let's go on our 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary to Sonoma, Napa, because that's
what you do. Oh, a vineyard.
Of course, like that's what we're going to do. And so we did. And it was really fun. We had a great time. And of course, we drank the whole time we were there. So I started noticing that my whole life was revolving around, you know, wine. Like I would actually decide at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, get my little taste buds. I think I want white wine tonight. Okay. Since I want white wine, what should I pair it with? Well, I guess we're going to have fish or chicken tonight or shrimp. Like I would literally plan my meals around my desire for red or white wine. And so my husband started making a couple comments, and I used to get false eyelashes put on, like the extensions. And my girl, Kirby, her name's Kirby, I'd go to see Kirby every Saturday. And she said to me as I was leaving, this was again, 2014, both of them said something to me. She was letting me check. I was checking out and she said, Carrie, I love you. I really do. I'm starting to get worried about you. I think you're liking your wine a little too much. And babe, there's going to be come a time that you are not going to have a choice. And that was the key.
Why did she think that? Where did she?
Because every Saturday when I showed up to get, which was like every 3 weeks, I had the fillers put in. I would be like, oh, I drank too much last night. I'd always say that. Oh, I had a little too much last night, right? Because it was Friday. I was like celebrating. I'm off work. I had a pizza and we had like a bottle of wine, right? I had a bottle of wine and he had whatever and I had my pizza. And it was just starting to become a pattern. And so she was picking up on it. She said something to me. But here's the thing. Did I quit? No, I drank for another 2 years. But what they both did and what I hope I do today, this is my hope for those that are listening. They planted seeds for me. Both Kirby and my husband planted a seed. And that seed had to cultivate. It had needed time to grow. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. It, you know, it needed to be watered. It needed to be cultivated. And over a period of time, my own thinking got to me. And it was July 4th, 2016, Independence Day here in the States. And I'm at my friend's party. We're drinking all day. You know, I started off like 12 o'clock noon with some vodka and lemonade. And then we switched over to wine. Then we did some shots at night. And I came home at 10 o'clock. And my son, who's 23 at the time, I walked in the kitchen and he was like, Mom, you're trashed. And I flew back some profanity words to him, things that no mom should ever say to their kid. I went to bed. I woke up the next day, went to work. That night after at dinner, at the dinner table, he said, Mom, how'd you do at work today? I said, what do you mean? He goes, you were so trash last night. He goes, do you even know what you said to me? And I go, I don't. I'm sorry. And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you. And my husband kicked him under the table and said, don't you tell her. He goes, oh, I'm telling her. And he repeated back to me everything that I said. And at that moment, Gita, I literally started crying my eyes out. And I was so apologetic. And I said, that's it. I said, this will never happen again. And I mean it. So that was July 4th of 16. At that point, I was in the pre-contemplation stage of change. There are six stages of change that we go through. I was in pre-contemplation. I needed some time to go into preparation stage. So that's what happened. In that next 6 weeks, it took me another 6 weeks to finally stop drinking. I started gathering information like, where do I go? I don't think AA is for me, but there was nobody like me around at the time, at least that I was aware of. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to go to AA. It took me that much courage, 6 weeks to get the.
Are you drinking in the 6 weeks?
Yes, I was drinking, but I was very mindful. Very, very mindful of, and every time I did drink, I was, that whole guilt feeling was over me because I knew at that point, alcohol and me just don't go well together anymore. We have too much of a relationship. I was moving into a darker shade of gray at this point, and I knew it. And I thought, if I don't get my act together now, then I don't know what's going to happen. And quite frankly, at the time I was in a job, it was absolutely miserable. I didn't like the job I was in, the career that I had. This is before I ended up working at Porsche. I just really did not like anything that was going on in my life. Even my husband and I were starting to drift apart. You know, we've been married now 34 and a half years. So we're starting that, you know, drifting apart thing. The kids were gone, all the stuff, you know, I'm gaining weight. I'm not happy. I don't like my job. You know, the typical midlife crisis, if you will. And that's kind of what happened. And then finally I decided August 14th was the last time I drank, 2016. I woke up that morning, Monday morning, it was August 15th. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. And from that day forward.
Go into your first meeting.
I did go to AA that night. August 15th was my very first one. And I stayed in AA consistently for about 5 months. And then I left the program and ended up working with a coach. And it was that coach who actually really changed the whole trajectory of my life because, you know, he showed me that it wasn't, alcohol really wasn't the problem, which it never is. It's always something deeper that we believe about ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to work through and I didn't know it. And that's ultimately why I became a coach myself.
And what is it that now when you are teaching people. You were saying that there are six stages of change. What are those stages
Yes.
that people can try and recognize themselves?
Yes, yes. I have a model called the Decide model of change, which is different from this this theory model. And I'll tell you what the theory model is first. There are six stages. So we have pre-contemplation, when you know you need to make a change, but it's so far out there. This was me in 2014. Yeah. You can stay in pre-contemplation for a long time. Then you move into contemplation. Once you move into contemplation, it's really starting to become more aware, like, okay, all right, I'm really going to have to make some changes here. I'm very consciously aware of what's going on, but you're still not taking any action. The next stage is preparation. Preparation is when you're gathering the information. That was me from July 4th to August 15th. Yeah. I was gathering, where am I going to go? How do I do this? What information can I gain about this? Let me get educated about the situation. And then we actually take action. Then we move into action. We take action on the thing, right? Then we move into maintenance, which technically I'm still in maintenance if you look at it that way. And then there is a sixth step, which is relapse. So if somebody relapses and they just go back to action and you start from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the Decide model? What's your model?
So the Decide model of change is, it's an acronym. So the D, I'll go through it pretty quickly. The D is having the desire to make the change. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the desire, not going to happen.
Happens.
Nothing, right? The E is so important. The E is exploring your why. Your why is your anchor. It's your grounding force. It has to be strong and big. It has to be something of deep value. Because you know what? The first moment something knocks you off, you're back to square one. So if that why isn't like tethering you into this action and all the time, then it's going to knock you off. And that's why it needs to be big. The C is having commitment to self, and commitment to self is 100% commitment, not 98%, not 69%. It's 100%. If you give yourself a 2% backdoor opening to falter,
yeah, no, you can't. It's all or nothing.
Yeah. And also with commitment, you want to know that you're going to need to invest in yourself as well. And that, yes, can mean resources, time, money, energy, the whole thing. You got to be able to have skin in the game. The I is having an identity shift. We must know that the person that you want to become, you have to embody that before it happens. I told you the story that I started smoking at age 7. I declared to my mother at age 7 after smoking that cigarette, "Mom, I'm going to be a cigarette smoker." Yeah. And by golly, that's exactly what happened. I declared it. I made the decision in that moment. That's who I wanted to be. And I became it, right? Not very flattering, but that's how it works. That's when we tell our brains that we're going to do something, we do it.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yep. So you have to be willing to have that identity shift. The second D is daily habits. What we do every single day matters, right? We have to start doing things that, in my case, a non-drinker, non-smoker would do. Well, you don't drink and you don't smoke, but you also add in habits that edify you, that lift you up, that support this new identity. So that means getting up and exercise, going to the gym, working out, drinking less water, eating good, going to bed at an early time, journaling, gratitude, you know, all the things, doing breath work to calm your nervous system, all the things that benefit us. And then the last E is everyday effort equals expansion. So what we do on a consistent basis will get us there, but we got to be able to put the effort in. And sometimes, Gita, the effort is just trying, right? Sometimes we don't feel like it. Like I worked out with my trainer today. I did want to go today, but there are days that I'm just like,
oh, tell me about it.
Ugh, I just don't feel like it. But you know what? It's on those days that I usually have the best workout, because I know if I get my butt there, at least if I put the effort in to get there, I'm going to follow through and I'm going to feel so much better about myself. And that is what it takes. And so that's the Decide model of change. I take all my clients through that. They don't even realize it's not like, okay, client A, we're going to go through the E now. It's all part of how I do things.
Approach. But let's go on a quick break. And then when we come back, I would love to understand more about your actual clients and what we do with them. You
yes.
do them rather. So we'll be back in a minute.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Good, good, good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it that you actually do? So someone comes, because for me, the thing is, you know, like I'm also a coach. I mean, when I'm coaching people, there's always such a difference in the people that are going to make the change and people that aren't going to make the change, right? Why don't we talk about a little bit more about that? What is that? Because I will say to people things like, you know, da 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 da, and people are like, how do you know it's going to work? How do you explain that to people?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, this goes back to the identity shift part, right? So we have to be willing to do something different. We all get to our own enough. This is where where you evoke change, right? So change only happens when you reach your point of either I can't take it anymore. Like there's willingness.
There's no choice left.
Right. There's being willing and there's unwillingness. So when we're willing to do something, it's as if we're like before I said the word declare, deciding. We're deciding we want something different, but sometimes we're unwilling to accept what is. And I'll give you another example because I love using myself. I've thrown myself under the bus, if you will, all the time. This time last year, I started getting to my own enough with my weight, and I'm pretty in shape. I mean, I'm 5'6", 130 pounds. I'm not overweight in any stretch of imagination, but I'm not in the best shape. Right. I mean, I definitely could put on some muscle mass and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got, you know, it's Christmas time. Here we are again, Christmas time. The treats, we get all these vendors buy my husband's stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. My mom just sent this ginormous cheesecake, you know. And you get to that point of where you're indulging. And then all of a sudden you just feel like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I need to make that shift. I need to make that change. And if I'm being 100% transparent, that's exactly what happened again for me this year, that I'm like, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to do this. Now, I have been consistent the whole year working out with my trainer a couple times a week, being consistent with her, but I let my diet go and I'm starting to see the results of letting my diet go. And now I'm buckling back in, which means I have to take on that identity again of no, Carrie, it's not okay that you have the cheesecake. It's not okay that you have the chocolate. What does the person that you want to be, how do they act and how do they respond? And unless you're willing to take on again, this whole identity, having the desire to make the change, knowing what your why is, having that commitment to yourself, then you're able to do that identity shift that you need and embody that. And unless that happens, no change is going to happen. Of course, you got to back it up with those daily habits and it has to be everyday effort. So literally that's how I know. And if someone's not ready, they're not ready. They're going to be ready when they've reached their enough.
No, it's true. I was talking to a lady earlier today and she was like, so I don't know how I know. And I was like, you know, do you ride horses? And she did. And I was like, you know, when you jump a horse over an obstacle, they always teach you that you throw your heart over first and then you and the horse follow. Right. And I love that description because it is so accurate. You do literally throw your heart over first and then everything else that's inside you follow. And for me, I always think it's a flag you put in the ground and you go, no more, literally no more.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. You have to want it so badly. That's why, you know, far too often I'll ask my clients, like, what is your why? We'll spend time on this. This isn't like a flippity answer. This is dig deep here, because whatever the answer is, I take them through five more layers of that. If you hear the five why system, it's brilliant, right? Because then, well, why is that important to you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that more. Why is that more important to you? It's an old Toyota, the company Toyota, the car company, they developed this, the part of the five why system. So taking them through this is so cool, because by the time we get to the real root reason, it's because they, you know, maybe it's something like, they're tired of feeling like they're always last, or they're, you know, they've been trying so hard, trying to appease something, or it's a limiting belief that they've had for a very long time. And we get to that root reason. It's like, I just poked the bear enough where we hit the sore spot. We find the absolute real reason, and that becomes magnified. It can't just be, well, I want to feel better, or, you know, I want to look better. Yeah, that's all surfacey stuff. We got to get to the root reason.
So how do people find you now? Like, because you have an established coaching business and you've got your system set up. How do people come to you now?
Yeah, mostly through, well, I have a bigger presence on LinkedIn. That's kind of my social media jam, if you will. I love being on LinkedIn. But you know, Instagram or my website, greytonic.com, which, by the way, gray is spelled with an A, because we're the only country in the United States that spells gray wrong. We spell it G-R-A-Y. Every place else is G-R-E-Y, but it's G-R-A-Y.
It's very true, actually, because I looked at that and I thought, why does that feel weird? And it took quite a while to understand that the gray was spelt with an A and not an E. So yes, that did confuse me a little bit. But okay, so what I remember, that there was a place when I was going through my divorce and I'd had my kids and I was very young. And every day I was married to an alcoholic, and every day a violent, abusive alcoholic. And every day I used to think, oh, am I going to drink tonight? I'm not. Oh, I may as well. And I would drink. I remember thinking that too many times. And after about 2-3 weeks of thinking this, I was like, this is bad. I have no idea, because I really love my one drink. I've never been a binge drinker. I'm physically not capable of it. I'll end up throwing up in a corner. And even the thought of wanting to drink every day used to really terrify me. Because I was like, why am I thinking about this? That whole issue you were saying about lunchtime. And then I was like, I'm not going to drink today. And I didn't end up drinking not today for 10 years, actually, because it just happened that I didn't drink for 10 years. And people would say, oh, did you have problems with it? And I was like, not really. I didn't like how it felt in my life. But what I remember distinctly about that time, because then there was a day where I thought, I actually quite like a drink. And then I had a drink. And so now I drink sometimes, I don't drink sometimes, and it's still my one drink. And we haven't really shifted a huge amount. And that's fine. I had to change who I was in order to accommodate not drinking.
That's right.
I think we don't understand that enough. Could you speak to that? Because what we think of is we're just not going to drink. But do you know how boring drinkers are when you don't drink? I mean, good grief.
Yeah, here's the thing. When we say it's going to be hard, or we say we're going to be boring, well, then you're going to be boring and it's going to be hard, right? So the language that we're telling ourselves is really key to this. And the fact that it wasn't even a big deal for you, I think that's why you went 10 years. It was like, it's just not a big deal. Like, what's the big deal? And if we don't make a big deal about it when we make the change, then it's not a big deal. So that's a lot of times,
if I had thought I'm giving up drinking, I would have gone straight back to it, because it would have annoyed me.
Yes.
But the fact was, I would just not drink today.
Exactly. That's just it. And so for me, with my clients, if they truly want to eliminate alcohol out of their life, then I'm like, listen, let's just focus on today, right? This is where AA gets it so right. Let's just one day at a time. Yeah. I'd say make your intention for today that you're going to remain alcohol free. And you know what? Make the intention for tomorrow. Past that, who cares? Like, we'll worry about that when we get there. Let's just focus on today, maybe tomorrow. That's it. Don't overthink it. And you know what? Make it easy. Make it fun. One of the best books, and actually it's not, here, but Atomic Habits is such a great book. We have to understand what the cues and the triggers are. We have to know what those are because we need to ride. We need to surf that urge, if you will. Just because we have an urge to drink or eat sugar or chocolate or grab the cookie or have the cheesecake, just because we have the desire or the urge to do it doesn't mean we have to act upon it.
And it you're not going to die if you don't act on it.
Yes. Yes. And here's the thing. It's okay to not be okay. Everything we do action-wise is based on how we feel. So if we just stop and pause and reflect on what it is that we're thinking and feeling about before we act, wait 5 minutes, wait 10 minutes, go get some water, go for a walk, change your state. The fastest way you can change your state of being is by movement. Put on music, jam out, scream in a pillow if you have to, right? Do something. Just change your body, change your energy state, and it will change your mind in that moment and will buy you some time. And by the time that happens, you're over it. So we need to be able to surf that urge when it does happen and not give in. Just because we feel like it doesn't mean we have to give into it. And then over a period of time, you're telling yourself over and over again, this is easy. Wow, this is way easier than I thought.
And then you build that neural pathway to
that's right.
It's easy, because the neural pathway to it's easy didn't live there.
That's right. That's right. 110%.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. That's super good. So thank you very much. See, I told you it was going to be interesting and exciting. I knew it. I'm really grateful that you joined us, and it's a really great topic of conversation for this time of year. So I'm super grateful, Carrie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How do people find you? Just quickly spell that again.
Yep. Graytonic, GRAYTONIC.com is the best place.
The amazing Carrie Schwer. And it was fun, right, guys? I think it was a really interesting conversation. I enjoyed it. It was great fun to have Carrie on. And, you know, I want you to think for yourselves what it is that is going to make you happy. Because the thing about being in a place that constantly you're drinking and waking up feeling crap, it isn't just making you happy. And if alcohol is it, or, and don't replace alcohol with sugar, please, 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 pretty please, because that's the next step. Let's not replace alcohol with anything, because the version of you that's lying underneath all that is amazing. It's one. You are wonderful. You are amazing. You are special.
Right.
You really, really, really matter. That's why you're here. And all this other shit is just a distract from your amazingness and awesomeness. So you should just hang in there and go with that. And, you know, I'll pick you up again on the next episode. My name is Geeta Sidharob. This is Activate Yourself. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.